Well, good afternoon, Mike.
Well, good afternoon.
Glad to see you could make it.
Yeah. I almost didn't make it here today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, an interesting thing, but welcome to the show. If you have questions, I love questions. And today I would like a lot of questions because the notes I was working on the other day, I didn't quite finish, and I need some help from the listening audience to say, hey, what do I do with my blueberries, or what do I do with my oak tree, or whatever. And so please call 673-4464 with any kind of a question you want to have answered. But this primarily, I talk about lawns and your landscaping and your vegetable gardens and all that kind of stuff, and give you the information that I know the best. Oh, I only got about 50 years experience, so I think I know something about now. I'm not trying to forget it or anything like that, but 673-4464, and you'll get right through if Dale hits all the right buttons here. You wouldn't believe this board he has in front of him. I couldn't learn it in 20 years, crying out loud.
Yeah.
There's about 400 buttons on here and dials and all kinds
of stuff. 10 minutes you'd have it.
Oh, yeah, right. 10 minutes and 10 days. But anyway, I'll try to get through and see what I can teach you or enlighten you with or help you with. And as it gets colder each day. Now, today was nice. I don't understand. I thought, well, you know, we'd have some frost. We'd have this.
Yeah,
it's like 59 degrees out there, for crying out loud, when I parked in the parking lot 10 minutes ago.
So it's not raining then?
No, it's clear. It's clean. I mean,
I've got to get out more.
Yeah, you do. You need to get out of this dungeon and go outside in the parking lot at least. You know, don't wander too far. But
yeah, I'd get lost.
It's almost like a spring day out there, for crying out loud. Except it gets dark at 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
that's the part I hate the most. Is the darkness. I can take the cold, I can take the rain, I can take the snow, but the dark at 5 o'clock is not on my list of things
that
I like.
Yeah, that stinks.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. I mean, that's the only thing I miss about, well, that's not the only thing I miss about spring, but it's a big thing. But December 21st is the shortest day, I believe.
Yep.
And the next day they start getting longer. So, you know, by first part of February, you go, wow, it's not dark at 5 o'clock anymore. My gosh, it's great.
Gained a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I gained minutes. Spring has come after all, maybe. But, geez Louise. So I got a hodgepodge of stuff to talk about, so please call. And, of course, as it gets colder each day, your potted plants, you know, those that you had out on the deck and on the patio and, you know, just kind of decorating the place. And they've been outdoors for, you know, six months, 8 months maybe. Well, they're going to need some protection for the next 4 months at least, meaning from now till, say, 1st of March, maybe. Depending on the weather, you know, one way or another. We haven't had any killing frosts yet, don't believe.
None in sight here either.
No. But don't push the envelope and say, well, when I hear there's a killing frost coming, I'll take them in. If they're an azalea or a juniper or a pine or something like that, they can handle the cold weather.
Yeah.
But, you know, your flowery types and, you know, maybe you got some geranium still in bloom, and they are. Some of them are still in bloom, and there's a lot of different flowers that you might have, or maybe you got some jade plants. You know, jade plants are kind of cold tender, if you will. Those are the kinds of things you can put in your back porch, your screen back porch, or something like that, just so they don't freeze. And they can take a little cold, but, you know, you get one of these nights where it's 29 degrees or 28 degrees, it pretty much shoots the roots. I mean, the roots go, hey, time to go into hibernation.
Kills me, too.
Yeah, it does. So, you know, be wary of, you know, what do I have out there? What do I want to save? And the ones you don't want to save, just leave them out there, and Mother Nature will take care of them for you. And then all you have to do is next spring go out and buy some new ones.
There you go.
It's real simple. There's plenty of plants for sale around here in March and April.
Yeah, there's a solution to everything.
Yeah, you know, that's the easy way. But, you know, it is November, Thanksgiving is when?
Next week, isn't it?
Next week, I think.
I think it is.
I kept thinking it was tomorrow, but it ain't.
No.
It's a Thursday, I know.
Are you going to be back?
When?
Before, the day before Thanksgiving?
No, if you give me the day off, I won't.
You have to talk to Kyle about that one. I have no power.
I'll talk to Kyle about that one on my way out. You might have to do a replay of one of my old summer shows. You
know? Around Thanksgiving last year.
Yeah, cheer everybody up.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. True. So, questions, 673-4464, and we'll give you some answers. So, and because there are, like I say, there are several choices you want to make for the overall survival of your potted stuff over the next 4 months, you know. And like I said, one choice is to have a room, you know, like a screen back porch or kind of a closed in back porch. And you know, it usually doesn't get below, you know, 35 and down there. And plants can take the 35. It's when they hit the 30 degree mark that they really, really have a struggle. You know, they'll... The leaves will die first, and if it gets any colder than that, then the roots will die real quickly. So, you know, but you can stick them in the garage and put a grow light up, and you know during something that comes on during the day and goes off at 6 o'clock at night and comes on at say 7 or 8 in the morning, and they'll survive if you've got some that you want to survive, and some of them may even put on a new growth. You never know. but the problem with potted plants is there are not enough insulation around the root systems. That's the, you know, the, there's a pot and the roots have grown out to the edge of the pot. Mm-hmm. And if there's a, like I say, the extreme cold pops in here for several days, the roots are the first thing to die, and that's the end of the potted plant for this year. So, and if you don't have any room indoors to store your plants, you can at least insulate them with, say, some towels or a blanket. You know, insulate the pots. Wrap the, if you got an old blanket and you wrap it around 3 or 4 times around a pot, and you know, tie some string around it so it doesn't fall off. The plant will probably survive. You know, the leaves might get toasted, but the roots will still be
the
good.
Main thing.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Those roots. Don't worry if the leaves fall off. That's a natural thing. But the roots, you want to keep them above freezing, and more like in the, you know, 35 degree and up, up temperature wise. So, but you know, towels, an old shirt that you might have, or many old shirts that you think, what am I going to do with these in my closet? Well, I'll wrap them around my potted plants. How's that for
there you
protection?
Go.
Yeah,
got a use for them now.
But so you know. Root damage, the plants, you know, pretty much had the shot, the course, and then, but leaf damage only, they'll probably come back, but then that's not critical for survival. So all you have to do, all you have to need to do is to prune the dead leaves or the dead stems off, and because they're not, you know, the cambium, which takes the nutrition up to through the stem to the leaves, the cambium is right just on the inside of the outer bark, if you will. And so there's not much insulation there either. So if you get dead stems, but you've wrapped a towel or a blanket or something, or put them on the back porch, whatever, you can prune that plant back to, you know, almost to the ground, almost to the level of the soil in the pot, and it'll probably come back. But these are plants that, you know, a lot of folks, my wife, geraniums, I see geraniums in pots and lots of tender plants that loves, you know, they belong in San Bernardino or San Diego.
Death Valley.
Yeah, Death Valley maybe, where they grow wild. But, you know, here in Oregon, they're a little touchy. But, you know, if the potted plants were like annuals, like petunias, marigolds, geraniums, they're not going to come back. So you'll have to buy new ones for next spring. And as soon as I wrote that in my notes, I thought, you know, there's a bank there in Winston. It's called Banner Bank now. Mm-hmm. And it used to be, gosh, I think it was Umpqua Bank. And then I think it was, I'm not sure, all the different banks. It was 3 different banks. It was Douglas National Bank for a while. What? We got a call?
We do have a call.
Ooh, saved my life.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
You got a live one.
Good.
A live one on there.
Good. What's your
question?
Hey,
you guys. Well, first of all, I hope you stay together for a long time because you guys are awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, good.
I look forward to hearing
you're the
from
first
you all
one
time.
To say that.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, I listen to you all the time. So. Good. I'm sure there's a million others that still do the same thing and never call in. But you know what? I actually have a question for you. Are you familiar with air routing? Have you ever tried that, Mike?
Where no.
You actually,
no.
Are you familiar with the concept?
I know the term, but I've never tried it. I've never done it because I didn't quite understand it, so I've just passed it on, you know?
Right. So
tell me about
year,
it.
I kind of, well, I watched a couple of videos on it. It's where you strip a little like a 1.5-inch strip of bark off of a virus. I did it on an orange plant. I got this little orange plant. So I wanted to promulgate it. Is that the word? I wanted to
propagate it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw this video and it says if you cut back the cambium down to the cambium layer, just like 1.5 inches,
mm-hmm.
and scrape that a little bit harder. And then you take like a baggie full of peat moss or mm-hmm. some good soil and wrap it around that and tie it off tight and then wrap that with tin foil to keep the sunlight off of it, and it will grow roots where you did that little procedure there. And I thought, oh, that sounds kind of hokey pokey, but I tried it and guess what, it worked. So
where on the stem did you do it? High on the shrub or low?
Yeah,
down or what?
You want to have two nodules exposed, so in this, at least one, I guess I should say, at least one nodule, because that's where the roots will come from.
Huh.
But I let it sit for probably 2 months, and I peeled it all back, and lo and behold, I actually had some roots. So then you just cut that branch, and you have another tree.
Huh.
And so that was my next question. So my little branch now is about 18 inches tall, and I have it in the house, but I'm wondering if that's not good because it's an orange tree. I thought, you know, the mother plant's outside in my greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really small greenhouse. It's like 8x10 stuffed full right now because, you know, I said all the plants are coming in. and I fight with Mama all the time to, you know, for space for all the plants and stuff. Can't uh-huh. fill up the house too much. But anyhow, do you think that it would be better in the greenhouse or inside where it's a little bit warmer yet?
Is the greenhouse heated at all?
I do have it a little bit of heater. I got an oil heater that I turn on and off in there on a timer,
mm-hmm.
so we don't use too much electricity. But on in the house, I have a wood stove, and I know that sucks a lot of moisture out of the air, and it's kind of hard on plants if you don't keep that humidity up in there. So
right.
I just hate to lose this little orange plant. It seems to be okay. It's not looking vibrantly healthy, but it's hanging in there. So I was just wondering if I should move it back. I probably should move it out to the greenhouse.
What's the lowest temperature it gets into the greenhouse?
Oh, probably 45.
Oh, that, yeah, you can put it out. Not a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So I was just tickled pink that I was able to actually do that procedure. It's best to do it, they say, that air rooting in the springtime when everything's, you know, the hormones are running up the stems and et cetera.
Yeah.
So I think next spring I'm going to hit it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And go after.
You've given me a challenge. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do it and see what happens.
Yeah, look into it. You can Google that and watch a couple of videos. It's pretty interesting.
Okay.
So I had fun with it.
And this is an orange
orange
tree?
Yeah, it was an orange tree.
How cool. That is so neat.
Yeah, and I actually got a couple nice, you know, after 500 gallons of water and all this care, I got like three oranges off of it last year.
Well, that's
good. Right around Christmas time.
Good. Well, you know what? So, each orange was only $150 a piece.
Exactly. It's quite a deal, right?
Yeah.
that's the fun of doing it on your own.
That's right. That's right.
Anyhow, you guys, carry on, okay? You guys are wonderful. I appreciate you. And I listen to you weekly. whether I like you or not.
Well, yeah, it's mandatory now that you've called. We've got your name and number.
Okay.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right, time for a break. And our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Tell me about your miraculous plant stuff, okay?
There you go. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. All righty, 424. We're back and the lines are open.
The lines are open, 673-4464. If you have a good plant story or tree story or, you know, have a question, just give us a call and we'll have a good conversation. And we'll laugh and joke and find out what's going on. How's that?
That sounds good.
Yeah. Like the gentleman that just called me and told me about his orange tree that he grew roots out of the stem. I've never done that, but I'm going to. I've got books with illustrations on how to accomplish that. But I thought, that's a pain in the neck. I can do it faster this way. I can grow plants by taking cuttings and, you know, dip and grow and putting them in a greenhouse and doing all that. So why should I bother with all this other stuff? Looks like it'd take me 5 minutes.
I can't be bothered.
I can't be bothered with this stuff.
But you're going to try it.
I am. He encouraged me, so I needed that encouragement.
Yeah. Cool.
So I was talking about your potted plants and stuff and how to protect them and if you care about them at all. Now, that's the potted plants. Those are usually the colorful stuff, petunias, marigolds, geraniums, you know, that kind of stuff. But you can always buy them anywhere next spring at your local grocery store or Freddy's or wherever you shop. But there's what? Another call. All right.
We have another call. Hey, you're on the air with Mike.
Hello.
Hey, I love Mike.
Thank you.
He's just the best. And his daughter is so funny too. And the wife is so sweet. I buy stuff out there. The place is so neat. If you've never been there, you should go. But anyways, I wanted to tell you that I learned from this old lady that she takes Christmas tree lights, not the LED ones and not the real old ones, but the ones that, you know, you can kind of feel the heat in them, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she wraps them around her pots and she has lemon trees and orange trees.
Good idea.
Because she said they got so big she was breaking her husband's back bringing them in and out even on a dolly in these giant pots. And she said she went ahead and started doing that and wrapping those lights around there. And she says, you know, that they don't freeze.
Yeah, they probably just put enough heat on the pot that it keeps the frost off.
Yeah, and up through the tree and wrap it up through the lemon tree. And I bought lemon trees for Neil, and they're doing real good too, Mike. I laughed too much with his daughter. Mike came down and said, "Where's the party?" That's how much fun it is to go to their nursery.
Well,
they're
you.
Fun people. Anyways, I wanted to tell you that one tip I have. Otherwise, I'm learning from you.
Well, thank
I'm dragging
you.
Everything in, and I'm going to wrap everything up.
Good. Well, I'm going to do I'm going to do that Christmas tree thing and test it out at my place, because my house is, I'm in a canyon, and it's usually 5 or 10 degrees colder in my canyon than it is like in Winston, for instance. And
right. So. I'm up at the end of Coos Bay Wagon Road, and it is freezing up here.
Okay.
It is way colder than Roseburg, and it sure works.
Yeah, you're in my neighborhood then. I live off of off of Hoover Hill Road, back in a canyon out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can even hook it up to a generator if the electricity, like at Snowmageddon.
Uh-huh.
She said that's what she did.
No.
And she says that she's getting lots of fruit, and I'm just really excited about these little trees I bought from you.
Good. They're doing well, then.
They're doing well. Everything I get from you, that nursery does so good.
Well,
I mean, it's just an amazing place, too. And it makes you feel good to go there.
Thank you.
Anybody that hasn't been there just needs to go.
Thank you.
And go inside and talk to the daughter. She's so funny. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for being there, and please don't stop doing this show.
Okay. You know, I've been on here almost 20 years, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
I know. I love it. I look forward to it.
Well, why don't you call me every week?
I threw the hay at my horses and ran back in so I could get in here to listen to this.
Well, nice.
Here's what you have to do. You got to call me every week with a new gardening question or something you've done that nobody else has done, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the
Thank
call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. We have lines open, and they would be
673-4464. And if you have nice things to say, well, just come on down and say them. Made my day. I appreciate that very, very much.
Compliments are taken well.
And I will pass the word on to my wife and daughter and some of my florists. So, okay, well, I've lost my place, I think. But I was talking about the potted plants that you want to save. And here this lady calls and says, hey, just wrap them with Christmas tree lights.
Yeah. Oh,
perfect.
I never had thought of that.
Never. I didn't either.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, and then not only did they keep the roots warm, they're colorful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great idea. Why didn't I ever know that before?
Two birds with one stone there, so to speak.
Yeah. Now, okay. Now, tough shrubs. There's a lot of tough shrubs, like junipers, mugopine, or even some azaleas will survive the cold in the pots. But if you can insulate the pots, it's to give it some root protection is good. And that Christmas tree, wrap the Christmas tree lights around the pot is a great idea, I think. And if push comes to shove, at least, like I said, move all the pots close to the together. You know, just jam them all together, and maybe take a tarp or an old blanket or several old blankets, and just wrap the whole bunch together and tie a string, a rope, or whatever, so that the pots have that extra layer of insulation around them. And if it does freeze, it's not going to penetrate as much as it would if it was not wrapped in a blanket. So, and then you can also put them in the, you know, if you got a porch, you put them on the porch, or you put them against the house, against the garage, because there's some heat from the house emitting through the side walls. So you've got extra heat there. And that way the winter wind can't intensify the cold, because it seems like, you know, in January, December, and not so much so far this year, but there's always some cold wind that comes out of the north. It's never a 70-degree wind from Hawaii, unless, you know, so do that, and those potted plants are going to survive. And they're just going to come out next spring and do a good job for you. Now, there are, like I said, many of those plants need no protection. Evergreens, any evergreen like a pine, a juniper, a fir, and even Japanese maples. Well, I have my Japanese maples in bonsai pots. I have a bonsai collection at home on a retaining wall, and I can see them. And I've got about 30-35 of them maybe sitting out there. And bonsai pots are very shallow, and you know, maybe 3 inches, maybe 4 inches on a deep one. And they're small, because what you're growing is a dwarf tree, a tree that would normally get 15 feet. You're keeping it at 2 feet. And you'd think, well, they're susceptible to the cold. But even in Snowmageddon, all of my bonsai plants survived. There was a few dead little branches here and there that I pruned mm-hmm. off, you know, in March or April when the growth started going. But for the most part, they all made it. So I know for a fact that if you get good hardy stuff, evergreens, Japanese maples, oaks, you know, regular maples, pines, firs, whatever you want to deal with, and try to put them in a pot or bonsai them or do something with them. But they're an outdoor decoration. They're going to survive, even though they get a foot of snow on them. And mine have had a foot of snow because I couldn't. Well, first of all, I couldn't move them into the house because I don't have enough room in the house for 30 plants or 35 plants.
Wifey probably wouldn't like that.
No, my wife would be very stern about, get those stinking plants back outside where they belong.
Yeah.
But, you know, pines, any kind of a pine, if you're working with it and keeping it small and dwarfing it, or a juniper, an evergreen type like that. And like I said, even the Japanese maples, you think, oh my gosh, the Japanese maples are, you know, the thing most people think about when they think about Japanese maples is they are a fragile tree.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not a fragile tree. They're native to Japan and China, where it gets colder than cold year after year, and they grow very, very well. So, you know, a little tiny bit of protection will take them a long way. But And I've proven that with my bonsai collection outside. And you know, like I say, I had a little cold damage. A few little branches will kind of look shabby and not sprout any new leaves the following year. So I just cut them off. But it's usually just a few branches. It's not like the whole tree. It's not like half the tree or anything like that. Nothing major. So just any plant materials that you have in pots, like I say, if they're annuals or perennials that flower a lot, those are the kind you want to protect if you want to save them over the winter. And then the rest of them, hey, let them go. See who's hardy, see who's not. What do you got there, another call?
No, we got a break.
Okay, we'll be back. 673-4464 if you have a question.
All righty. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Alrighty, we are back.
Yes, and if you have a question, it's 673-4464, and you can give me advice, too. I mean, I always need advice.
We all do.
Yeah. I was talking about how to, in the last segment, how to protect your potted stuff, your tender potted plants that you bought, you know, had on your deck or on your patio, that kind of thing. You know, bring them in, take care of them, and they're good to go for next year. Okay, but and one last thing, just make sure they're well watered, because if they're well watered and it freezes and it turns to ice on the root system, the ice actually acts as an insulator.
Oh,
I never knew that for a long time.
Mm.
It actually acts as an insulator.
Who would have thought?
Not on all plants, but most plants.
Oh,
most outdoor plants. So, going into winter, the roots get insulated when it does freeze hard. It's as simple like that. Because when we had the Snowmageddon thing, we had shade cloth come down, and we had some greenhouse stuff come down because of the weight of the snow, but we tried to knock it off before it piled up too much. But it was amazing how we didn't lose a lot of plants. You know, there was a few here and there, but for the most part, they all survived because there was so much snow on them, it actually insulated the pots that the plants were in.
It would, if you think about it. Yeah. It's like a blanket.
It's like an igloo.
Yeah. Exactly.
Plant igloos.
Ding
we
dong.
Have them for sale, $29.95.
Plus tax,
yeah. And, of course, I'm gonna harp on this. It's a prime time for pruning. If you haven't pruned your yard in a while, maybe it's time you did, and bring your shrubs and your fruit trees and other things into shape like they once were, but they've gotten out of hand because you haven't touched them for 5 years or 6 years or whatever. I know how that goes. I was that way. I'm still that way on some of my stuff. I just let it go, see what's going to happen. But this prime time for pruning because they're dormant. They're asleep. You're not going to hurt them. You're not going to wound them. You're not going to kill them. It depends on if you prune them correctly. You don't want to take 90% of the branches off and expect them to live. But you can take 20 to 30% off. You can bring them down in height. You can bring them back if they're too wide along your garage or your sidewalk or stuff. You can bring them back to fit the area. You're not going to hurt them at all. And so you've got, let's see, what's this, November, what? November what?
15th,
okay. So you're say you were safe to go a month ago, but now you're really safe to go out there and get it done. Till about, first part of February, end of January. You know, play the weather by ear. If we had, if all of a sudden the last week in January got to be 75 degrees five days in a row, you might get some damage, but it usually doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
But they are dormant. They're asleep. You're not going to kill them. And for, you know, like you have a small yard and you're in town and you say you got three, four, maybe five semi-dwarf fruit trees, you can prune the tops down at least two feet, depending on the tree, and cut any small interior branches out and leave the bearing spurs for next year's fruit. Now, the little interior branches are those little tiny things that are, you know, the diameter is smaller than a pencil, but there's, you know, 40, 50 of them on a limb. Prune those out because they're not going to be fruit-bearing, but you leave the main stem, which might be an inch in diameter and reaches out a while, 5 feet, 4 feet, or something like that. You can prune the tips of those, say, back about a foot. And what you're doing is you're enhancing the bearing branch that you leave because you've taken out all the little dinky things that don't give you any apples or pears or peaches or bananas or whatever kind of tree it might be.
Right, just sucking the juice, so to speak.
Yeah, right. And they're ancillary branches that don't help. So you clean all those out and you open up. And if there's too many larger branches too close together, you look at it from several different angles and take out one of those branches completely and leave the one that you leave is going to be a main bearing branch. So that way the fruit isn't crowded together if both branches are fruit bearing. And it's just good, and it's healthy for the tree. It's healthy for the shrubs that you do the pruning, because you're opening up the tree for next spring when the sun starts shining and it's starting to get warm and they're pushing their flower buds, are going to bloom, and then they're going to put leaves on. They've got air circulation and sunlight circulation throughout the entire tree. If you have a small tree and you haven't pruned it for 5 years, the interior branches are going to be, you know, not sickly looking, but they're not going to be as robust as those that are more out into the sun. So thereby, you're pruning the stuff that's not looking so good, and leaving those branches that are doing well, and maybe shortening them up and opening up the tree a little bit more. And then you're going to have some real fruit production. What, you got a call?
We do have another call.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I was calling to find out what you would recommend as the best fertilizer for clematis, because I thought about doing it this fall so that come spring they'd have a better start.
Well, there are so many brands of fertilizer on the market. What I've done in the past is go to the co-op, and they'll have maybe 20 different types of fertilizer, and some of them will be a blooming fertilizer for flowering plants, clematis or, rhododendrons or even petunias, and they'll have very little nitrogen in them. And there's always three numbers on the fertilizer container. The first number is the nitrogen, the next one is the phosphorus, and the next one is the potassium. And they'll have a number after each. It'll have N4, P3, and T4. And that's the percentage of the various nutrients in that fertilizer. And so for flowering stuff, you want to get something that is not high in nitrogen, which is the first number, but higher in the phosphorus and the potassium numbers, because that's what encourages the root growth and the flowering capability of a plant, whether it's a marigold or an apple tree. It doesn't matter.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, I had a tip for people, like that other lady was saying how her husband broke his back moving things.
Uh-huh.
I have the half whiskey barrels or oak barrels or whatever that you can put.
Big heavy things, yeah.
Yeah. But but they're not the way I do it, because what I do is I fill at least half full of just chunks of styrofoam.
Really?
And then I get a cake, I get a cake pop mat and put it, you know, because they're round and they fit just
right
in one section of that barrel when you find the right size, and then put in maybe 6 to 8 inches of dirt, because most of the plants that I put in there have very shallow roots, so they don't need deep dirt, and that way that barrel is quite light.
Well, that's
it isn't full of dirt, and it lasts a lot longer.
That's a great tip, and I'm sure that would help a lot of folks, and unless they're just going to keep the barrel in one place all the time. But that's good information. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Okay. And thank you for doing your show every week.
Well, you're sure welcome. I'm glad you're listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I thought she was going to say she filled it up halfway with whiskey. But
no, I don't think so. Plants don't like whiskey. Honest. They don't. There may be some beer, but not whiskey.
Whiskey.
No, it's too big. No, that's a great idea. In fact, it's an idea I never even thought of.
No.
You know, because I'm one of them dummies that fills the whole thing up with soil.
Soil, the good stuff.
Potting soil is a lot lighter than, you know, the soil that you dig in your yard.
Oh, okay.
So it's maybe, you know, half the weight. A shovelful of potting mix is, say, 2 pounds, and the soil you bring out of your garden might be 4 pounds. So you put that in a bucket. And I always recommend to people when they want to do buckets and don't get a half a whiskey tub unless it's going to be a permanent fixture. You know, you're gonna keep it there, because once it's filled with that soil and
moving
plants, it's gonna take 3 men and a wheelbarrow and everything else to budget. So get something that you can handle, and there's a lot of good plastic black nursery pots that the co-op and nurseries, and they all have them. You know, even the box stores over there, whatever their names are.
Whatever they are.
But get one that's about half the size of your half wine barrel, and fill it with good potting soil, and just about anybody can move that, because it's not 82 pounds. It's like maybe 30 pounds or maybe 25 pounds. And that's something easy if you move it from the sunny spot on the patio to the shady spot on the patio, and you only got to go 10 feet. And just about anybody can do that. So there's a lot of ways to not break your back when you're landscaping and doing all that stuff. So.
Speaking of which, we got to break our backs and go into a break.
Okay, we'll be back. 673-4464. Thank you for all the questions. I appreciate it.
And there's more on the other side. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. All righty, it is 452, 78 degrees inside the studio.
Yeah, it's hot in here.
It is.
I got a long sleeve shirt and a coat, so I don't know. And this guy's just got a T-shirt on. So
I hope the boss isn't listening. He'll turn the heat down.
He should, down to about
cold.
40.
Yeah, 40.
So, anyway, I've had some great calls today, and I thank you all for calling. And if you have any questions during the week, wait till next Wednesday and give us a shout if you got a problem. Let me know what it is, and we'll try to figure it out and give you a solution right here. It's very, very easy. And I was talking about pruning fruit trees, and if you the last part of this, if you've got a big tree, you know, it's been 40 years and not pruned in 20 years, and it's got 10 billion branches, and you don't think you can handle it. Well, there are people out there in the landscape industry, me included, that know how to do that. And there are some other tree companies around that know how to do that. But if and if you want a firsthand look at pruning, and I've said this 100 times before, go out to Brosai, farms and look at their orchards and see how they prune their trees, and you'll get the idea of what I'm talking about. And Cruz's Farms, they've got, you know, orchards out there in Garden Valley. You can just drive by and see, you know, oh yeah, now I see what they're talking about. They prune them, you know, fairly severely. Well, that's because when you prune them severely in the correct way, you get an abundance of fruit. It's that simple. If you leave the branches alone and don't do any pruning, you'll get a lot of fruit, but it'll be small and fall off the tree early or begin to rot and soften because it needs that air circulation. It needs a sun circulation.
Good deer food.
Yeah, deer food. And that's when the deer come in and say, yeah, look, the guy didn't prune again. Let's eat his apples. But if all else... If you still don't get it, there you can go to the box stores, you know, and they've got magazines and books, and it says pruning or how to landscape your yard or how to build a deck, and these books, these magazines, have pictures of before and after, and and you can see what your end result will be, and that's what you copy it. Because they're very good illustrations, and I've used them to educate other people that wanted to prune their own trees. You know, you explain it to them, and, you know, they still don't get it, so you whip out the book and say, well, look at this. See, this is a before, this is an after. Yeah. And they start nodding their head and say, well, it won't hurt the tree to prune it that much. No, it won't hurt the tree. Mm. You're strengthening it. You're making it more healthy in for the long run. So... don't be afraid to do something like that. And garden projects. Okay, you're we're still harvesting potatoes out of our garden, and I swear some of the potatoes are bigger than softballs, and they're huge. I mean, one potato that my wife dug up, and she thought, look at this, it was like a small football for crying out loud, one potato did the whole dinner. You know, with the whatever else we're having, hamburger patties and whatever, beans and she did fried potatoes and onions and green peppers. I love that stuff. And out of one potato, and that was the biggest one she had. And then she got another one. Now the rest of them she dug up. Well, some of these we find that they were potatoes from last year that we didn't dig up. and they didn't sprout or anything. They just got larger. So, but if if you're out there in your garden, you've had a vegetable garden, you're trying it out, harvest your potatoes, your onions, broccoli. You can leave the broccoli in the ground for a while if it's looking good, because it'll keep producing small heads of broccoli. Ours are still producing, and I'm in a colder place with less sun than if you're in downtown Roseburg or in the suburbs of Roseburg. Another thing you can do is if you got blueberries or strawberries or something like that, put some compost around the base of them, maybe 2-3 inches of compost material, fine grind bark mulch, something like that. That way you protect them for the winter and they're ready for spring, because by the time spring rolls around, the nutrition has already gotten down into the root systems and it makes them healthier. And if you do that each year, you get these tremendous blueberry plants or strawberry plants, and they're doing good. They're just really going good. And then any of the old vegetable plants that look kind of frozen and the leaves are shriveled and brown, if you can't find any produce on them, pull them out, put them in your compost heap over to the side of your garden, let them rot through the winter, and maybe next year you can use them as compost to till into your garden and go away. And add a little bit of soil, a little bit of compost, and don't let the weeds take over, because the weeds, they seem to grow in December, January. Oh, no. They don't slow
care.
Down for nothing, man. The cold don't hurt them. The heat don't hurt them.
Snow.
Snow doesn't hurt them. So pull all those weeds. Get all the weeds out that you possibly can now, and you won't have a big problem job come February or March when you want to start working your garden. Just little things you can do now that's not a lot of work, but will give you a head start for next year. and in your landscaped areas, like I said, prune your trees and shrubs to the size that you like. And to the shape that you want, you can shape them, make them look like Mickey Mouse heads or whatever. I mean, you can if you're artistically inclined. Even if you're not, try it and see what happens. And any plants, of course, growing around a house, fertilize the plants and lawns, but go light. And what you put on now won't get to the root system for at least a month or more. But when spring rolls around, the roots will begin to use that fertilizer as soon as the ground heats up and ready to go. Are we done?
We are out of here.
Well, thanks for listening. I'll have a better show next week when I'm not pushed.
Yeah, I was pushing him.
Yes. No, I had too many meetings today, and I forgot, and I had to do a quick prep.
Well,
thank you.
Sounded good to me. All right. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.